Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Mr. Gadget, and I thought I would continue the discussion that I kind of began with the why Android tablets suck, and continue this on because I am at the cusp. I am between and betwixt the mobile revolutions here that are shaking the very pillars of the mobile world, i.e., just last week, Amazon announced the Amazon Fire, and the world is on fire, right? The Amazon Fire, the Kindle Fire. So it's their foray into their forte, which is selling you stuff over their devices, specifically stuff that you can consume via the device. So obviously the Kindle readers are probably a little... argument would be given to the fact that the Kindle reader is probably the most popular reader and kind of revolutionized that whole reader space. There were lots of Sony readers. In fact, I bought some as Christmas presents, owned them, things like that. And there are plenty of Sony readers that were around, other kinds of digital readers that were around before the Kindle came along. But the Kindle kind of really set a standard for those kinds of things that changed things around quite a bit in the that kind of space, especially with the going beyond just the Wi-Fi connection and having that 3G, so you can order the book right there and get it 3G delivered to your device directly. Plus that, same as all the other e-readers, it had that e-ink, so it was very easy to read. Various types of devices, along the way, and they came out with the Wi-Fi only ones, and they come out with the more recent ones that are just the, ones that have advertisements, but they're really not that obtrusive, I guess, from what people say. It's just that advertisement that flashes on the screen when it's in its screensaver mode, if you will, or things that are on the page but never interrupting when you're actually reading the book. Okay, so... now, take that and mix that up with the idea that you want a color screen that won't be as readable outside and maybe arguably less readable overall, but it will allow you to have the full color kinds of things. So you want a full color kind of catalog or comic book, if you will, full color magazine. Sorry, getting over cold here. Well, you can do that, just like those Android tablets, and just like the iPad, and have all of that kind of goodness there. Plus, you have all that stuff that you already own on Amazon, and it would be right here on your Kindle. And so they're really hoping that this is going to make a big splash and really get you to, of course, buy more stuff from them. And this is obvious, but then again, let's keep in mind, all right, I'm going to set aside the whole thing about the openness of cloud and the openness of things online and all those kinds of things, all those kinds of arguments, okay? Ever since we've been interacting with the internet and people have started offering us free services, it's always been because they're still going to make money, and it isn't from, it's from our attention. They have our attention, and they sell things through that attention that they get from us, okay? You're paying for it one way or another. So with Amazon, at least so far, the attention that they want from these devices that you buy from them is relatively small for the cheaper price that they would give you with offers. There wasn't any mention in last week's press conference about whether there's going to be options for these new models. They came out with some really nice new models of their e-ink paper versions of things, as well as the Kindle Fire, the color one. As you might guess, I'm extremely interested in the Kindle Fire because it's my 7-inch form factor, which I really want for my media consumption device. I want to read my book, and even my magazine will be fine on a 7-inch tablet. I have attempted this and proven this to myself. And it's more than adequate for some checking my email and all those kinds of things also. Some of the negatives that people have brought up about this particular model are, and I read an all-touch tablet article on this, and some of the things that he brought up, and other people online have been bringing this up too, a couple of other reviews of what was talked about in the session last week. No camera. Now, I'm not sure with tablets that no camera is really that much of an issue. Perhaps less so with a 7-inch tablet as opposed to a 10-inch tablet being heavier. I'm not sure how much taking of pictures with your tablet you're going to do. This with the caveat of one guy who I saw who had a brand new HP touchpad, which I think he had actually won at the Linux, the Ohio Linux Fest when I was there. And they were giving away a couple of the HP touchpads there. And I think maybe he had a brand new fresh HP touchpad. And while he was listening to Dual Core, he was actually holding the touchpad up and videoing as they were playing. But I imagine his arms were getting pretty tired after a while. Not that everybody's arms weren't getting tired from, you know, just punching and stuff and dancing around and having a good time. But I'm not sure that that's that practical. It's not your phone. Your phone, you take a picture, and it's about the same size as your camera would be if you had a little compact camera. And I don't know. But admittedly, see, I'm a still camera guy. I'm not a movie camera guy. I'm not a video person. I'm not a videographer. I'm a photographer. And I don't know whether that's something having to do with my generation. That was the visual media that I learned, and that's what I'm sticking with. But the videography isn't as much of an interest to me. I'm really not sure how much a forward-facing camera, you know, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, the one that you can take a picture, you can use the screen of the tablet and take a picture of something that's in front of you, using it as a camera that way. I'm not sure how practical that really is. Give me some feedback, or even better yet, Ken would love you to call in a show and talk about how you would use a tablet or how you do use your tablet, okay? The second thing is not having a tablet that's facing towards you, okay? Whatever that is, forward-facing, backward-facing. The camera, essentially a webcam. Now, that could be useful on a tablet, I would think, because if you're sitting in the coffee shop and you want to do a little Google Hangout, you'd have a little camera on there, and I suppose that could be of interest. But, you know, that's not my 7-inch tablet necessarily kind of thing. I don't know. I suppose I could miss that. I suppose it could be nice to have that. And there's something that says that maybe sometime later on that might be added in or some kind of a dongle that you could click, you know, click onto it. Because I'm pretty sure, I believe I remember this thing had a USB, mini USB, I think, maybe micro USB. So maybe somebody will come up with a pluggable camera to add that to it for a little webcam. I've done the Google Plus Hangout a couple times, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. And I guess if I had that, I might use it for that purpose on occasion. But it's not going to be a big loss because I've owned plenty of 7-inch tablets that didn't have, you know, cameras on them. And I really did miss the camera. That's my own personal preference. That's my own personal usage. Your mileage may vary. Not valid in all states, standard disclaimer. So, the thing that interests me about this, the other thing that he said, though, was the fact that it did not have, didn't have the camera, right? And also that it, I'm sorry, I'm blanking. That's the first time I can remember having totally blanked on these stream of consciousness kind of things. But sometimes the stream kind of gets stand up a little bit by a rock and it kind of hops over. So it doesn't have the camera, but I'm not sure I would really miss the camera all that much. You might, okay? But the other thing about it is it does not have a micro SD slot the way a lot of these things do, but it has the cloud built into it. Now, another I see as a positive about it is this new browser. Now, admittedly, yes, they're going to be having your info of what you're browsing up there on their EC2 storage, their Amazon, back end that's going to basically take what you're browsing and compress it down or pre-render it or something like that, they were saying. Anyway, somehow they're going to make the browsing faster to your local device because your EC2 and back end on the Amazon is going to be like a big old graphic engine for your web browsing. Now, I know, yeah, they're tracking everything, but they're already tracking everything you do in every way they possibly can, okay, in order to sell you stuff. So does it really matter that much that it's Google tracking everything that you do and they're sending you ads that are most likely Amazon ads or that Amazon is tracking you? Maybe it's a little more efficient tracking of what it is you're looking at. I guess if it really started showing me ads of stuff I was interested in, they're tracking me anyway, and they're showing me a bunch of ads I don't care about. Maybe if they do a little bit more, they'd show me ads that I was interested in. Who knows? But if it makes it faster, I can ignore ads. I can ignore ads all day. I ignore ads just out the wazoo, okay? I ignore ads on such a regular basis, it almost amazes me. I went on a trip, I mentioned off and on, that my daughter is a grad student up in Missoula, Montana. A couple of years ago, when we were going on the trip up to Missoula, Montana, to find a place for her to live while she was up there in grad school, I took along a little netbook that I had, and I had done a fresh install onto that netbook of whatever was the Linux I was using at the particular time, and whatever that particular one was that I was using did not have Flash as a default. And I purposefully did not install Flash, even though it was pretty easy to do post-install. And I wanted to experience what was it like to have a non-Flash kind of a device, like an iPad, right? Can't run Flash on the iPad. I wanted to actually experience the internet without Flash. And invariably, I lost out on almost no content I was actually interested in. But what I did notice was how many ads were over there at the edge that it couldn't show me because they were in Flash. And normally, I've gotten really good at just ignoring those. They're on the peripheral of my vision, and they don't even get, you know, my eye's attention. Maybe subliminally, there's like a little ghost image of the ad over there that's subliminally getting to my subconscious. Ooh, that's a terrible idea. Maybe advertisers will start figuring out how to get the ads that you don't pay any attention to somehow flash or something and get into your subconscious so you want to buy the product anyway, even if you don't look at them. That's a bad technology. Nobody take that idea and run with it. Nobody develop that technology, okay? So what I didn't see was a whole bunch of ads, and I started noticing them because I got the little, you can't play this because you don't have Flash. Don't you want to, you know, load Flash? Well, no, because I don't want to see these seven ads that are along the side. Now, that's not going to happen with this thing because I think this thing does play Flash, right? That's one of the advantages of Android over iOS, plays Flash. One of the other advantages, I know the other one he said, was that it was not using the Android App Store. Now, I already explained to you there's something going on with the Android App Store because, you know, that's why Android tablets suck. It's because you can't just get the Android App Store on any version of Android. You got to have the blessed version of Android. And if you don't have the Android App Store, it doesn't mean you can just sideload an APK on there because the APK isn't available because all they have is a QR code or a link to take you to the Android App Store. So, not having the Android App Store, but having a App Store from Amazon that works, yes, right now, there are not as many Android apps on the Amazon Android App Store as there are on the actual Android App Store. But if this is as successful as I think it will be, this is almost going to take over as the App Store you want to be on. Or at least it will be as important to be on as the Android App Store for phones, that this will be the place to be for your tablet app, and the Android App Store is going to end up being the place to be for your phone-sized apps. I can almost see that kind of dichotomy happening here if this is as successful as it is, I think it's going to be. Because at $200, folks, $200, they hit the magic price point. $200 is, they killed off everybody else that's going to do a tablet. Your tablet has to be remarkably better than this to get anywhere near any more money than this. I mean, you're going to have to show me that you're way better than this thing is at $200 to even get $300 out of me for your quote-unquote real Android tablet. And the Chinese guys that are making, that have been making hay at doing the sub 200, hey, they're gone, right? That whole business has left the building, okay? So, I'm thinking, obviously, from how I'm enthusiastic about it, that this thing has a real chance. But it has a chance only if, beyond me, I mean, I'm probably going to buy one, and it's probably going to be around with me all the time, you know, because it's a 7-inch tablet, and it can be with me easier all the time than anything bigger than that. But I called into an iOS-oriented show, macOS Ken, and I made a comment to him when they were having a discussion about this, and I said, the true success of this is going to be their execution in terms of how, okay? They have the what. They have the ecosystem. They have the media that you want to see on this device, and they own all of it. Now, the reason why I think this is going to be successful, and more successful than anybody else has been with an Android tablet so far, is because they're competing with Apple on their own terms and in the way that everybody from the open side of things hates, which is they own everything. They own the hardware. They own the delivery of the media. They own all the media that they're delivering. They own the entire thing vertical, all the way from ground zero, the silicon, hiring who's going to do the silicon, specking it out, all the way to the end user. They own the entire package except for the Wi-Fi that gets you, you know, the internet that gets you to your house and the Wi-Fi that talks to you while you're there. And that is why they're going to succeed in this, because that's what Apple gets. It's the entire experience. I just want it to work like I ranted last time. And I think this is just going to work. And I'm going to say a couple of things that are going to put me like, oh my God, I'm a heretic here. Okay? Number one, I don't even mind that it has less apps than the Google App Store. Because you know what I find on my iOS device that has the most fantastic app store, the first app store, the app store that sets the bar for everybody else's app stores? This is the way that people make the money, and this is the way to go, and this is the way that everybody should be going, and everybody seems to be going that way, is what I have is half a dozen to maybe say 10 apps that I use on a regular basis. I've got maybe another 15 apps that I use on a semi-regular basis, and I got a bunch of apps out there that I put onto the device because it was free and I thought it was interesting and I've never looked at it again. I need to go out and Bart my apps. Just like Bart Bouchot shows you how you should go out there and you should, those of us who listen to podcasts that he does, he Barts his photos, right? You go out, you take 175 photos with your digital camera, and then you go through and you start throwing out the ones that aren't any good. Well, I need to do that on my apps. Okay? I could have a device with half the capacity of memory as this one does if I didn't have all these apps that I never looked at. I would rather have 75 apps that are really insanely great than, you know, but, you know, everybody out there going to the app store, that's what gets the developers. So I need a thriving app community, but you know, I'm going to try not to load apps on this thing unless I'm really using it. I got to figure out how I'm going to like sequester him and figure out, hey, you haven't tested this for 2 weeks. I'd love a machine that said, you know, you haven't tested this app in a month. Do you want me to delete it for you? Yes or no? Or maybe I could just tell it to automatically delete. Don't even tell me. I know apps are the big new thing, but, you know, most of the time, I go out with a web browser or I use the app and I'm in the app and I find something interesting. Let's take the Google Plus app for it. So the Google Plus app has something interesting that somebody posts. And I plus it in Google Plus. And then I also want to save it over in Evernote, right? Or post it on Twitter or other things like that. Now I know I can do a post there from Google Plus, but that doesn't post the actual link. That posts to Twitter, the link back to Google Plus, that then they have to go through that to find the link. So I want to do the actual link. I want to do something else with this, right? I want to save it over in Evernote, SpringNote, Instapaper, all these kinds of things. So I click on the link and it takes me over. And this doesn't matter. I believe this is the same for Android and for iOS. Either one. Takes me over to its own internal browser. That's got a little thing there that says, oh, okay, normally that little icon with the little curvy arrow on it, square around it, you know the one I mean, right? Normally that means, oh, that means that I can email this, because most of the time, I call these things in, right? But guess what? Excuse me. I know you're not too surprised. Most of the time, I just mail myself the link. So that's usually the mail myself. Now, that's opened it up in whatever the browser of choice is for the device. So I got to click that, go over to the browser of choice for the device, and then I can mail myself the link. Or mail it to Evernote, or do whatever it is I want to do with it. So all the ad does is get me to whatever it is I want to see, but half the time it takes me to a browser anyway to do anything else. I could live in an HTML5 world as long as people were innovating in the HTML5 and it just worked in my browser. I could live back there in that world that started out in iOS with Safari on the iPhone where there weren't any apps. I'm just being honest here. It's how I live in Linux most of the time, admit it. Unless you're using a full-scale application or program, whatever you want to call it, like, you know, the GIMP to edit your, you know, or whatever other, DigiCam, other kinds of, you know, things to edit your photos, a full-blown word processor, you know, those kinds of things. Unless you're doing something that really requires a full-blown application, in which case you're not using the tablet anyway. To interact with all these other systems, what do you have to do? You have to use the web-based interface, now, don't you? I'm just used to using the web-based interfaces. Now, maybe I'm giving up, and maybe I'm saying, but you know, the web-based interfaces aren't that bad. And this is just the way I use the device. So I think this would work out pretty good. Another comment he made on the all-touch tablets thing was about how it wasn't for productivity. It was just for consuming media. Which I got no problem with. I want to consume media with it. That's what I want to do. I want to read books. I want to watch a movie. I want to, you know, listen to some music. I want to consume media on it. And I think it's going to be very good for that. And I know that's what it's designed for. But this whole thing of it's not for productivity. Well, isn't that exactly the same thing that everybody said about the iPad when it came out? Isn't that everything that everybody said is saying on a regular basis, I think it's probably people who don't use, you know, tablet devices very much, says that they don't get tablets and why they would want a tablet. Because it's not what they do. It's not what they're productive with. The iPad was a media consumption device until people started figuring out how to be productive with it. And applications started getting put onto it or develop for it to make it productive. I don't think that Amazon is going to dissuade people from developing applications or having applications in the App Store that you can load onto this that can make you more productive. The other thing I figured out what he mentioned was it doesn't have a microphone. I carried around an iPod Touch for several years before I started carrying around this iPhone. It didn't have a microphone either. And you know how I recorded things on that device? The same exact way I'm talking to you. I used an external microphone that was an iPhone headset. And you know what I bet you money? Now, I may be proven wrong, but I'll bet you money that there will be... it's going to be a standard 3.5-inch headset. And if Amazon was stupid enough to not have that headset wired to use the standard plug that lots and lots of phones and mobile devices use to have a microphone in addition to the stereo headset, then they made a stupid move there. And I'll grant you, they may have been stupid and they may not have done that. But I think that the microphone thing is going to solve itself. I may be proven wrong, but I would be, you know, I would not be surprised at all, let's say. I'm not so sure I would go so far as to say I'd be shocked if it didn't, but I would truly not be surprised at all if you could take the standard kind of, it's got a tip and three rings and a sleeve, or two rings and a sleeve, instead of the tip, ring, sleeve of a standard stereo, and it'll be wired exactly the same so that I can plug my microphone headset into it, and then I can record on that device. May prove me right. May prove me wrong. Right now, it's the day before the new iPhone is going to be announced on the 4th of October in the year of our Lord 2011. And so we'll see what it is that they do to muddy up the waters and announce what they're going to have for their next model, which, of course, then everybody will be scurrying around and saying, ooh, is this better than this, or is this worse than this? And it'll cause another big uproar. So I'm right between the one and the other. Kind of a little bit of a calm here. And quite frankly, I noticed that there wasn't a lot of shows out there other than Klaatu, and I love Klaatu shows, don't get me wrong. But if you're tired of hearing me and Klaatu and Ken talking all the time on Hacker Public Radio, call in the way I just did and tell me why I am full of carp, it's an anagram, about tablets and about how you know everything about tablets and I'm wrong. It should be 10 inches and it should have cameras and this is how I use it and do that. Okay? It might sound like I'm dying, but I'm not. But just in case I am, somebody else has got to call in shows. Okay? Now, believe it or not, I know you won't find this too hard to believe either. What I'm actually doing, it's on my way home. I'm going to look at a RIM playbook. And you know why I'm going to go look at a RIM playbook? Because what everybody says is basically the outside shell and a lot of the hardware that's going to be on this Amazon tablet, it's all made by the same company, and the closest thing that anybody has said that they've seen to this is the RIM playbook. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to look at the RIM playbook for build quality, and weight, and how it feels, and just get a feeling for, you know, what kind of build quality I'm going to expect out of this Amazon tablet, just in anticipation. So, yes, I'm going to go window shopping on this thing that I don't even, it's not even really the thing that I'm interested in buying, but I have a close second that I'm going to go window shop a little bit before I head home. So, what do you think? Is this going to revolutionize the world? Is it going to basically define the other tablet and it'll be between Amazon and Apple? Is Microsoft actually going to come out with something that is an ecosystem that is going to compete with this, with the Windows 8 version of the tablet? Is Google going to come back and get some kind of partnership with people with the media side and finally take control, which is kind of against that whole openness aspect of Android is open, right? Everybody likes Android because it isn't a walled garden the way Apple's device is a walled garden, but they kind of wish that Google would control what people did and didn't let them just do anything they wanted. It's kind of funny, you got to admit. But the most exciting news, and I hope to be able to call on a show about this once I find out about it, is System 76 says that they're in the process of developing a real Linux tablet. Now that, folks, will be exciting. Bye now.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.